Hearts in Atlantis, Disc 3.
The next morning he sat on the front porch and read several pieces aloud from the Harwich Sunday Journal. Ted perched on the porch glider, listening quietly and smoking Chesterfields. Behind him and to his left, the curtains flapped in and out of the open windows of the Garfield front room. Bobby imagined his mom sitting in the chair where the light was best, sewing basket beside her, listening and hemming skirts. Hemlines were going down again, she'd told him a week or two before. Take them up one year, pick out the stitches the following spring, and lower them again, all because of a bunch of poofers in New York and London said to. And why she bothered, she didn't know. Bobby had no idea if she really was there or not. The open windows and blowing curtains meant nothing by themselves, but he imagined it all the same. When he was a little older, it would occur to him that he had always imagined her there, outside doors, in that part of the bleachers where the shadows were too thick to see properly, in the dark, at the top of the stairs. He had always imagined she was there. The sports pieces he read were interesting. Maury Wills was stealing up a storm. The feature articles less so, the opinion columns boring and long and incomprehensible, full of phrases like fiscal responsibility and economic indicators of a recessionary nature. Even so, Bobby didn't mind reading them. He was doing a job, after all, earning dough, and a lot of jobs were boring, at least, some of the time. You have to work for your Wheaties, his mother sometimes said after Mr. Biderman had kept her late. Bobby was proud, just to be able to get a phrase like economic indicators of a recessionary nature to come off his tongue. Besides, the other job, the hidden job, arose from Ted's crazy idea that some men were out to get him, and Bobby would have felt weird taking money just for doing that one. Would have felt like he was tricking Ted somehow, even though it had been Ted's idea in the first place. That was still part of his job, though. Crazy or not, and he began doing it that Sunday afternoon. Bobby walked around the block while his mom was napping, looking for either low men in yellow coats or signs of them. He saw a number of interesting things. Over on Colony Street, a woman arguing with her husband about something, the two of them standing nose to nose like gorgeous George and Haystacks Calhoun before the start of a wrestling match. A little kid on Asher Avenue bashing caps with a smoke-blackened rock. Lip-block teenagers outside of Spicer's Variety Store on the corner of Commonwealth and Broad. A panel truck with the interesting slogan, "Yummy for the Tummy," written on the side, but he saw no yellow coats or lost pet announcements on phone poles, not a single kite tail hung from a single telephone wire.